Welcome to Brave New Bookshelf, a podcast that explores the fascinating intersection of AI and authorship. Join hosts Steph Padonis and Danica Favorite as they dive into thought-provoking discussions, debunk myths, and highlight the transformative role of AI in the publishing industry.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to an episode of the Brave New Bookshelf. I'm one of your co-hosts, Steph Padonis, CTO of the Future Fiction Academy, where we teach authors how to use AI in any part of their process. I also work on the Future Fiction Press, all the Future Fiction stuff. We're doing lots of stuff at the Future Fiction, whatever, right? We have been getting ready to go to Las Vegas because that is happening. I know that this interview is happening right at the very end of October, and I think it will be published around the end of November 2025. And so I've been, buying new shirts for Vegas, buying new shoes. I've basically been shopping for clothes. That's not so bad. And getting stuff ready on the website and whatnot to publish while we're gone. There's all this prep work when you're going to be gone for an entire week at a conference. And I'm very excited about it because I get to see my awesome co-host, Danica Favorite. And I can't wait to see her. Are you excited, Danica? Because I am.
I am very excited. Before we started recording, we were talking a little bit about some Vegas plans. And I'm just like, it's just going to be so nice to see everyone and hang out with everyone. I've already selfishly claimed as much time of Steph's as I possibly can.
always.
I think that this is why we have the greatest jobs in the world. We get to work with people we genuinely like and enjoy spending time with. And so very excited, all kinds of fun things. As Steph mentioned, this will come out after Vegas. Like, I think I speak for Steph when I say, and Marissa, because I know Marissa will also be in Vegas. If you hear this and you're like, hey, I was in Vegas or whatever, I know any, at least I'll just speak for Publish Drive. How about that? If like you saw me and my coworker there, his name is Matthew, he'll be there. He's great. And we offered you some kind of special or something. You're like, oh man, I didn't grab that in Vegas. You know, just reach out. I think we're all pretty flexible and we just want to chat and we're here to help. I think that's the big thing. But yeah, I'm so excited to get to see everyone, hang out. Unlike Steph, I have not been shopping and I'm a little nervous. I meant to do laundry, but then I realized we were recording and you could hear my washing machine. So as soon as I'm done recording, I'm going to do some laundry, figure out what I have. And then if I need to update the wardrobe quickly, I will. So very excited today because we have Marissa from Scribe Shadow. And I don't know, a while ago, we teased that we were going to have them on. And our recording was terrible. It was just a whole technological mess. Pro tip, if you want to record a podcast, don't do it in your car.
Learn that one. Especially not in the summer.
Yes. So
it happens. It's okay.
It happens. But valuable lesson because Steph and I always like, sure. Yes, you can totally do this. And the tools are so good now. We can totally edit it. Apparently not. So we're really glad that Marissa was so kind as to come back and chat with us. We know a lot of you have been asking to hear from Scribe Shadow, and you guys have been wanting to have somebody from Scribe Shadow come in and talk about translations. You want to hear about translations. So really happy to do this. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Danica Favorite. I'm the community manager at Publish Drive, where we help authors on every stage of their journey, from getting the perfect book description and AI book covers to distributing your books to the widest stores possible, which now, dun-dun-dun-dun, includes 11 Reader for 11 Labs. And then finally, once you start getting sales, splitting your royalties. And then, of course, we have my lovely co-host who works for the Future Fiction Academy and Future Fiction Press, Steph Padonis. Steph, tell us about you and what you do.
I do a lot of stuff at Future Fiction Academy and Future Fiction Press. I mostly help a lot with the daily stuff. You know, we're running a business. We're making sure that the students are getting everything they need. The books are getting made, all that kind of stuff. I do a lot of the WordPress work on both the Future Fiction Academy and Future Fiction Press websites. I'm doing a lot of just a lot of back-end work right now as we're getting ready to do a lot of stuff coming up to the new year. So that is an exciting time for us.
Very exciting. I'm so excited. In fact, again, getting back to Vegas, I'm like, okay, I need to sit down with Steph and do some computery nerd stuff too. See, all the things. And so going back to Marissa, I'm always just telling you about Marissa from Scribe Shadow. Super, super excited to have her and really excited to talk to you all about translations, because I know that is a hot topic. Every conference I've been to, people are talking about translations. I just got to hang out with Marissa last month, actually, in St. Pete at the NINC conference, and everyone was really excited about translations. So this, even though we'd hope to have her in sooner, I still think it's a fantastic time to have Marissa from Scribe Shadow here. We said this will go out the end of November 2025. Even if you're listening to this 2026 and you're like, oh no, I missed the boat on translations. No, you didn't. The technology is just getting better and better, which I'm sure Marissa will tell us about. And now I'm going to hand it over to Marissa from Scribe Shadow. Marissa, tell us about yourself, what you guys do, and all that great stuff.
Yes, thanks. Thanks again for having me again. Hate that that didn't work the first time, but yeah, no podcasts in the car in the middle of summer. Definitely not. But yes, I'm with Scribe Shadow. As many people who already know Scribe Shadow, it's just me and my husband right now. So we're really small. We had a publishing company for many years, just a small press. And we really wanted to have translations and be able to break into new markets, but we couldn't quite figure out a way to do it within our budget. And that's where my husband, who's way smarter than me, comes in. He made a wonderful app, an online app, to where we can go in and gives authors a fast, affordable, efficient, and reliable way to translate their work and reach global markets. And not only translations of the text, but metadata blurbs too. So we just started offering some cover translations. We're working with audio as well. So basically, yeah, we're just trying to give authors a platform to reach globally in a more efficient and affordable way compared to traditional translations.
I love the idea of translations, and I love reading translations that have come from other languages into English. So this is totally in my wheelhouse, and a lot of people on the podcast know that I really love language in general. I'm a huge Duolingo fan. I got the owl over my shoulder here. I do Japanese, French, and Italian, which are like my favorite languages, and I've been learning them for a while now. So tell us a little bit about which languages you guys chose to get yourself started with, where you expanded to, and where you may be hoping to go in the future.
We started with, I guess, what people would say are the basic, what you would think of when you translate Spanish, German, French, things like that. And right now we have over 19 languages that we can translate into. Some of these are in beta, like Hindi, Thai, simplified Chinese. Those are going to be in beta for a little while because those are quite complex. But we just, I think it was last month, launched Swedish, Polish, Ukrainian, Russian. Right now, our most popular languages that get translated, I'm going to pull up my notes here because I know what it is, but I actually have numbers. Translated right now, we have German, French, and Italian are our top three, what most people use, followed by Brazilian, Portuguese, and then Dutch. If I wasn't in this business, I would think Spanish would be up there, but it follows around six or seven in the tier, but German, French, and Italian are the best. And Danica was saying at NINC, talked a lot about translations. And I feel every time anyone brought up translations, they're like, oh yeah, mine's in German. It's like German was the main language everyone was going to right now.
Yeah.
But things are always changing. Dutch is becoming really popular too. So.
Yeah. I'm really excited to hear what your languages are. And I think that fits very well with what PublishDrive is seeing in terms of where our sales are, because we're seeing similar success. And I'm actually super excited to hear you're doing Hindi in beta. What is interesting to me is a lot of PublishDrive customers are actually from India. And we do have one partner store that does some Indian stuff. And so I'm really excited about that. So that's really cool to know. And it is interesting because Steph and I, we do have our Duolingo streak going because Steph got me addicted. And I too was surprised by Spanish because that is the current language I'm working on Duolingo. I do feel living in Colorado, where a lot of people speak Spanish, is probably a good move for me. But I'm like, oh, yeah, I do find it interesting in terms of where people are finding more success with
right.
languages. Do you have a suggestion? Like, you talked about the top three. Is there one? You mentioned German. Is that where you think people should start, is with German?
Based on what I'm seeing from our current users and hearing from other authors, I feel like German is probably the easiest one to really kind of dip your toes into when you're translating. It all varies a lot depending on your genre and things like that. But German seems to have the most success, at least from what our authors are seeing. Right now, we have in words, over 900 million words have been translated in German thus far through Scribe Shadow. So I feel like it is definitely probably the easiest to get into. There are some things about German titles that become a little bit confusing, I think, for first-time translators. But for the most part, I think you'll probably have good success in German among most genres.
I feel like German is a language that really has not spread throughout the world, right? So you look at German and the language in Germany, right? And like, there's a little bit of it in Austria, there's a little bit in Switzerland and these sorts of things. It hasn't spread throughout the world. And so when you translate something into German, you're more likely to reach an audience who, like, they all mostly speak the same dialect and read the same dialect, right? When it comes to Spanish, Spanish has traveled throughout the world. It is in Asia, it's in South America, it's all Europe, right?
Right.
And here in the Americas, you get some offshoots of different ways of speaking Spanish, different sentence structures, different slang, different, all these sorts of things. And so when you go to make a Spanish translation, you're like, do I do traditional, like, Spain Spanish, or do I do Mexican Spanish, or whatever it may be? The same thing with Brazilian Portuguese versus Portugal Portuguese, right? So I can see why somebody would be like, German is a great place to start, because that's like a pretty solid, like, one place in the world with a couple little offshoots, where you can corner that market. And then when you go out from there, you're spreading a little bit further. So it kind of makes sense to me that you would want to start with German.
Yeah, yeah. German, French, and Italian, the same type thing. Of course, you've got French is maybe a little bit more spread out because you've got like French Guiana and you've got Montreal, like things like that. But even then, it's still very, very similar. We do offer European Spanish and Latin American Spanish as options. The same with European Portuguese and Brazilian Portuguese. But yeah, it's interesting. Brazilian Portuguese far outweighs, I mean, it's a bigger country, so I would say, but far outweighs European Portuguese as far as what people have been using us for. And then Spanish and European Spanish and Latin American Spanish, same. There's a whole lot more European Spanish than Latin American Spanish, which that kind of messes with me because it's like, you've got Spain and then you've got Latin America. So it's like, what's happening there? But it's just, it really comes down to the readers in the country. And that's one of the things we're working on right now, is trying to come up with a big global marketing trends kind of database for authors. Because yeah, you can translate your book in all these great languages and that's cool, but then what do you do with it? And we're talking to all of our authors. We've sent out several surveys. We're trying to get some real world information about what they're finding, what successes they're having, places where they're not having success, what genres are going really well in this area, what genres have done diddly in what markets, and also where to take their translations, because a lot of people want to use Kindle Unlimited, but it's only like in 10 markets right now. So trying to find those new places to go to put their books out there, even as far as like marketing and PR, are there lists you want to get on? Do you want to start a newsletter here? What things are working? So that's something we're working on right now. And I think it's going to be a really great tool. We're going to try to keep it updated because we know how quickly things change. One minute, everyone likes dark romance. The next minute, you're in sweet cozy. And it's just, who knows what's going to be the next big thing. But hopefully we can get that at least start rolling that out soon to give people really good ideas of, hey, this is a good place to start. When you start here, try this and this and see what kind of success you have. And then, like I said, as it changes, we'll make updates and hopefully give authors the tools that they need to make their translations actually go somewhere beside their desktop.
Yeah, I think that's really great, the ability to be flexible, which is nice with the AI tools. And you were talking just a bit ago about the difference between the Portuguese, like the Brazilian Portuguese and Portugal Portuguese and the different kinds of Spanish and all of that. How accurate do you find the AI tool is? Because I know that's the thing that people have asked is, how are the translations really good? How accurate do you feel that it is? Obviously, you know the difference between the different language dialects.
Right.
But how, in more broad or specific terms, whichever you've got there, would be here about.
I feel like AI is continually getting better. I'm not going to say that every new model comes out, oh, that's the one you want to use, that's going to be better, because it's not. As far as what we do, we run very extensive testing consistently on the new models, on new languages, on our current languages that we're already offering, to see which performs best, which handles the slang, which handles the little nuances of different languages and all of that. So if you haven't used Scribe Shadow before, when you go in to choose your language, it asks you which AI model you want to use. And next to it, you're not shooting in the dark. You're not just picking one. It will tell you best, okay, legacy. It will say which one is recommended for whatever language you're going to. So as far as that concerned, that kind of takes a little bit of guesswork out of it, because you would think the newest thing is going to be the best. And that's not necessarily the case. A lot of times it is. But for example, Brazilian Portuguese, an older model, I can't remember exactly which one, but it says when you go in there, an older model is your better bet. The newer model just doesn't handle it quite as well. We're putting in a lot of coding to try to get the AI to do what you need it to do. So preserving like the vibe of the story, the slang, all of the nuances of your book is something that we work hard on consistently, making changes, updating. We're constantly listening to our authors. They're saying, oh, this one thing I'm seeing is not working. We go in and we try to adjust that and address that. As far as how good it is, I would say, you know, AI is always getting better, but it's up there with human translators. I'm not going to say that AI is just as good as human translators, because with a human translator, you get to go back and forth. You have a more of a relationship with them, but AI is getting really good. In fact, a lot of our authors don't even go through a proofreading process. They take their work straight out of Scribe Shadow and throw it up on the internet and have really good success. You're going to get picky people everywhere as far as reviews and whatnot. But I've had a lot of authors say, oh, I have better reviews in this language than I do in English. So I think it's at the point we wouldn't have released it if we felt like it wasn't up to snuff and up to the, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I do. And I think that's really good, because I was going to lead there, but you kind of answered that in terms of, I know you guys do have connections to proofreaders if people want.
We do.
That connection.
Yes, yes. We work with wordcount.inc right now. And actually we'll be, when we head out to Vegas next week, we're going to be sharing a booth with them. So if you're, I know this is after the fact, but if you have come by at that point, Max with wordcount.inc will be there. And that is kind of right now where we send people who want that little extra layer of security. And I found that, I've heard from several authors, especially at NINC, when talking to people, that they may have went there for their first couple of books, or they do it for their first series in a new language when they're going to a new language. And then once they feel comfortable that, oh, AI is handling it pretty good, there may be a few little things nitpicky here and there that they're okay with not having translated. And it's, you know, not necessarily worth the cost to get it proofread, that it's at the point where it's, oh, this is good to publish.
That's really good to hear. Again, just looking at how the AI models have advanced and things like that, because I think if we had been having this conversation, oh wait, we did, several months ago, I think we would have been more of the emphasizing on the need for proofreaders. Again, the models just get better and better. And that's why, as I said in the opening, even if you're listening to this in 2026 and thinking, oh, I missed the boat, No, you didn't. It just means that all the stuff that Marissa is talking about here today, it's actually gotten better.
Yeah. Like you said, we did this not long ago and things were even different back then. And you go back even 6 months before that and it was just a whole different ballgame. It's constantly changing. Who knows where it'll be in the next 6 months? I don't think it's changing to the point where people are going to have to go in and retranslate their stuff that they've already had translated. But, you know, there may come a point years down the road where it's like translations are near perfect and there are no, you know, indistinguishable from something from a regular translation. But at that point, we'll talk about that when we get there. But right now, it's very good. And the work that we put in behind the scenes, it's not the same as just throwing a chapter into ChatGPT. A lot of what we do is try to make sure, like I said, it keeps the vibe of the book, it keeps the story, the point of view, it keeps all of the same thing, relationships within the story. If you're just copying and pasting it into a large language model like ChatGPT, it's hard to keep things consistent. So that's one of the things we work on, and that's just gotten better and better. And as things change, we're able to tweak it even more.
I love that. I think that is so cool to see just how easy it really can be for authors. What does your workflow look like when somebody says, hey, I want to get a book translated? What does that workflow look like?
It's super easy. It's very much self-serve. So they go in, they can create an account, and then they basically upload their manuscript in a DocX or an EPUB format. And then they go through, enter their metadata. As much metadata as they can put in, the better the AI will treat their novel and keep their voice and tone and everything. So genre, keywords, things like that. You've got your title. I can translate your blurb, all of that good stuff. So the more you put in, the better off it's going to be. And then it's really as simple as choosing your language and clicking translate. And within less than 20 minutes, depending on the size of your novel, sometimes 5-10 minutes at most, you have a translated book that you can export into EPUB and do with it what you want. You were talking about proofreading before. We do have proofreading within our software as well, so that they can run it through in there if they would like to. That's something that I've had several people come to me and like, isn't that, you know, like you proofreading your own thing? Isn't that going to be like AI proofreading? AI is going to be like, oh, it's perfect. I just did this. It's perfect. AI doesn't work that way. It's not a human. It's not, oh, I just did that, so I know it's going to be perfect. It's looking at it with a fresh set of eyes, so to speak. So it might catch some things that it didn't catch the first time around, or catch some formatting or grammar or whatever issues that were there before it was translated. But yeah, after that, you just export it and you're good to go. You can do what you wish with it. We don't save anything in our databases. It's all contained within your kind of cloud situation. We don't train your AI on anything, or we don't train AI on your stuff. It's separate. I look at it as you've got a box where Scribe Shadow is, and here's your book and here's the AI, and we kind of bring them together. It's not like we send it off to someone else where it's can be used for other things. But yeah, super, super simple.
So you're gathering a bunch of metadata in order to help maintain the voice and whatnot of the work that you're running through. So I was just kind of curious if you had some stats on like some of your more popular genres that people are translating right now.
Right now, I don't have the exact popularity of genre. I know I've seen a lot of cozy things right now, and I don't know if it's because it's fall or whatnot, but I keep seeing a lot of people talking about cozy things. But that is one of the things that's going to go into the global trends. It's, as you know, it's very subjective as far as who's doing what and where it goes. It also depends on marketing as well, because there are some people who found great success without doing a thing. Other people have had the same story or type, same genre, and it takes them a little bit longer to get off the thing. But I think that's also the content of the book as well. Every book that's a cozy mystery is not going to be the same level of quality, and that's not going to sell the same. But I'm hoping by the end of the year, if not the beginning of next year, we'll have several of those market trends out there so that people can really get moving on it. It's just been crazy with all these conferences recently, which have been great. We've totally enjoyed it. And it's been so great to meet everybody and network with people like you guys and other companies to help even build those databases and learn more firsthand from people about what's working, what's not, and taking those changes to heart.
Yeah, I think it's really good to start looking at what the data is. And yeah, you're right. We've been so busy. And that's the thing I always recommend, even like for people who use Publish Drive, you can look in your dashboards and see where your books are doing well and how they're doing. And the thing we used to tell people prior to translations is you can publish in Germany, for example, in English, because they read English books. And for those of you who are also looking at where to start with your translations, what other countries do your English books sell in? Because that's a great indicator of where you might start your translation journey as well.
Absolutely. And that's a really good point.
And like I said, Publish Drive has a great dashboard where you can like sort by those different things. But for whatever you're using to look at your sales and look at your sales statistics, that's a place to look. Are there any surprising places where you have seen translations do well?
I think I mentioned Dutch. It's not so surprising anymore to me, but I feel like to a lot of people, it is surprising if they're not familiar with the translation area. First of all, they don't have KU in Dutch. So you have to kind of, you can publish on Amazon, but you don't have Kindle Unlimited. And I know a lot of people who publish in the US are very familiar with KU because that's the place here. But it's very, very popular. And I think it's becoming more and more popular. We've had a decent number of Hindi and Swedish, even with Hindi still being in beta, there's been a good number of people that have been working in that. But Swedish is another one because it's so localized. You know, you don't find Swedish speakers anywhere but Sweden. I mean, yeah, obviously they may live elsewhere, but that's where they're all concentrated in Sweden. And it's one of the bigger ones as far as like top 10. It's right in there, which is surprising to me as well. Like I said, German, French, and Italian, those are your top three. But Swedish is, I don't know, it's rising. It's coming in there.
I love Swedish, and I can't wait to go to Sweden someday. Like, same. I definitely want to go to Scandinavia. Scandinavia is like high on the list of places to go. I tried to learn some Swedish for a little bit and fell off because it is actually a really tough language to learn. Maybe I'll have to try it again at some point. I agree with Danica about this idea of going and looking to see where your books are doing well. I mean, your English books,
right,
outside of the United States, see where they're selling, where they're going. And I also recommend to people that if you've picked out a series that you want to translate, go to each one of the stores on Amazon, like go to the Germany store, go to the Spain store, go to the Italian store, and see if that genre is doing well in those languages by looking at your comps. Like look at other authors who are in the same genre as you. What are they doing? What's their sales ranks like? They'll just give you an idea of where you might want to concentrate first.
Right. And a shout out to a lot of people within our community, the Scribe Shadow community. We have a very active Facebook group and a Discord group, and nobody's gatekeeping anything there. It's been really great to see authors working together and giving ideas and tips and tricks of things that they've found. And every day I see someone post like, oh, I write in this genre. What do you recommend? And then people just file in with, oh, I've had success here and blah, blah, blah. That's another place. If you're interested in starting, you can join our Facebook group or whatever and see what people are doing before you actually start doing it and get some advice from authors who have had really, really good success. And then authors who are like, oh, I did this genre here and I couldn't sell anything no matter what I did. And they're more than happy to put that information out there, which I think is great because I feel like a lot in our culture, everybody likes to like, oh, this is my information. I don't want to share it with anybody. But it seems to be that for whatever reason, this has been something that people have been very like open and willing to, hey, I've had good luck here. I've had good luck here. Because if the more we can put into a market of, oh, this cozy mysteries are doing really, really well and start adding cozy mysteries, people are going to start selling because people are, you know, that's what that market wants. So you're not really flooding the market at this point. It's just helping each other out. So I think that's another good place to talk to other authors, see what they're doing, because there's a lot of information to be gathered on Facebook and Discord and whatnot as well.
Yeah, I agree. And I think for people who are interested in translations, I know we've obviously got the AI for Authors group that we always talk about, but definitely for anyone who is interested in exploring translations, really hang out in that Scribe Shadow group, because it is a very friendly, very helpful place. People are very open with sharing information. And I do think that the thing about being in the AI for Authors community, and I'm not saying the Facebook group itself, but just the community of authors who are using AI in general, I think most of us are going to be more helpful and sharing of our information, because we want people to feel supported. I mean, this is why Steph and I started this podcast, is that it can be really lonely in the AI space as an author, because there is still that stigma, and there still is going to be that, oh, you know, are AI translations as good, or is this, do you really want to do this or that? And I really appreciate that our community at large is saying, let's help as many authors as we can be successful and create those successful models. Because here's the reality with translations. I think 2 years ago, the only people who could even consider translation was somebody who had deep pockets. And now translations are really available to everyone. No, it's not free. You could theoretically try to figure it out yourself in ChatGPT.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, the cost of uploading your book to Scribe Shadow, having someone go through and do all quality checks and things like that, who know the local nuances and things like that, which I don't know. It was just, obviously, the algorithm knows that I like language stuff, very similar to Steph. And I somehow got on the algorithm of reels for French, French mistakes that people make, and how people can tell, like, the formal French versus, like, just hanging out with your friend's French.
Yes.
And Scribe Shadow knows that difference. But me putting it myself into ChatGPT, am not necessarily going to know that. And so this is really a great opportunity for everyone. And I just appreciate every author out there who is sharing how they're doing and sharing those statistics in groups like Scribe Shadow and AI for Authors, because
absolutely,
for those of you who are listening and you're curious what this can do for your books, that's where you want to go.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it, like you said, it's a great group of people, and everyone's been very, very supportive. AI has come a long way as far as not just technology, but as far as acceptance. And this is, it's not, you're not writing your book with AI. It's not changing your vibe, your tone, your story. It's just trying to translate it. And I feel like that's a good place for people to dip their toe in if they're thinking about, you know, using AI, because it does get a lot of backlash in a lot of different communities. It's even, I think even a year ago, you know, going to a conference and bringing up AI, it's kind of like, you know, you get, who knows, but to bring up Mink again, it was talked about in every aspect. There were, we had several sessions on AI only, and those were packed sessions, and people were really open to seeing how not just translations, but other aspects of helping them grow their business and reach places that they hadn't been able to reach before due to financial constraints or whatever, ease of use, things like that. And I think it's really just becoming more and more accepted as far as a tool that can be used to help you sell your books. And that's the goal. I mean, we want everyone to be successful, and having that option to get out of the US market and reach other people and really just start creating a global fan base for your books is priceless.
Yeah, I agree. And it's so funny because I was just thinking about this. Steph and I, particularly in the beginning of this podcast and in the beginning of our AI journey, our big passion was accessibility and making books accessible and making reading accessible. And language, it literally just hit me now that language is another accessibility piece, because there are people who like to read, who want to read, who want access just to the information, but because of language barriers can't, because even though we come from this English-centric world where we expect so many people to speak English or to be able to read English, and there are so many people out there who can't, and to be able to give them this gift of language, I'm really sitting here just kind of mind blown right now, honestly, which is crazy because I knew this, and yet it just hit me in this new way of this is another level of accessibility that we're giving people.
Yeah. And it may not even be that they can't, that so many people around the world do speak English, but reading it, comprehending it, being able to enjoy what they're reading as opposed to it feeling more tedious because it's not their first language. Just being able to go through and read it is like you said, same thing. It's, it makes it more accessible.
Yeah, and you got to think about it in the opposite direction as well, because there are plenty of people who write in a different language other than English, whether they're writing in Chinese or Japanese or Italian, French, whatever, and they have books that they want the English-speaking audience to have as well. They want They want access to that wider market as well. Are you guys thinking about doing the reverse as well, or?
People can. The issue right now is the platform, using the platform. The platform is in English, of course. If you don't have proficient enough English to use the platform, that might be a barrier. And unfortunately, since we don't speak other languages, it's a little bit more difficult to set that up and to make it work for them. But we do have several authors who, I think one in particular I'm thinking of right now, they're German speaking and they translate into English. So it definitely can go both ways within our platform. You can take any of the languages that we have and translate back into English. And that's a whole nother thing because English itself is a super complicated language. So we're, you know, for us speaking it, we're like, oh yeah, this is no problem. But when you are turning the tables, it's like there are so many little nuances and little things that just make a huge difference that we don't even pick up on, that just kind of have happened over time as far as language is concerned, that we that might, like I was reading something the other day that was talking about how using adverbs and adjectives before a noun, and how you use like if you have a bunch of them, you're going to use like color, shape, size, and the way those work, we just say it second nature. But in other languages, they're in totally different formats. And if we were to read it only slightly, even if it made sense, it wouldn't, it would still, we'd still be like, that sentence doesn't sound right. So that's continually picking up on those little things and trying to adjust for that. But yeah, it can go both ways. And yeah, there's so many authors out there in other languages that would be awesome to be able to get translated into English for our market. That'd be great.
Yeah, that's like a rule of adjectives before a noun, is that color usually always comes closest to the noun. So if you think about it, like you can say, well, I picked up a black long sleeve blah 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 sweater.
Right.
It sounds a little awkward. But when you say I picked up a long sleeve black sweater,
yeah, exactly.
It sounds natural, right?
Right.
But it's because color is supposed to go closest to the noun.
Right.
And a lot of people don't even realize that, because
you don't
We're taught from the moment we're born, we're hearing language from our parents. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what we learn is auditory first, right? So then we learn the grammar and the basics of language through writing and then through school.
Right.
And then if you think about how many people in the United States who try to learn a second language in school, whether that's French or Spanish or whatever it may be. Our local school district actually teaches Mandarin as well. But it's the moment when you realize that, man, language is really hard to learn.
It is hard. It is so hard.
It's so hard to learn. And just imagine somebody trying to learn English now. There are just so many rules. There are so many words. We've borrowed words from other cultures, other languages. And it's a huge mismatch of stuff.
Right.
And so you can see how there are huge barriers to entry when you're trying to write fiction for certain markets and certain languages. And so I'm actually extremely grateful that AI is here for us for these things. We're so close to that Star Trek Universal Translator that I can almost taste it.
I know. I am that's one of the things is like, I am big into travel and I really want to go different places. And I don't want to show up as just someone who only speaks English and feel ignorant. And I feel like there's a lot of negative things towards English speaking Americans specifically, but we are kind of on our little island over here. Like there's not, yes, we've got people who speak languages here, but it's not like we're surrounded and we hear things constantly. Whereas if you live in Europe and you can go a couple hours and you're in a totally different country with a totally different language, it's easier to pick up on those things. So being able to use things like AI to help us communicate with places and people when I travel and not feel like, you know, yes, I'm still going to try to learn some of the language so I can do the things I want to do. But if I don't know something or I can't figure out how to say something, to be able to pull out my phone and be like, here, this is what I'm trying to say or speak. I think they've got the hearing aids now that they're coming out with that like automatically translate. That's crazy. And that's so helpful to allow people into places and visit and feel like you're not just there alone on an island. You know what's happening. You can hear them and you can talk to them and really bridge that gap. But yeah, AI is really changing that.
Yeah, it really is becoming this great connector of being able to connect people of all different places and all different abilities and skills and things like that. I just finished reading The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho, and it really struck me that, I mean, that book is a translation. And oh my goodness, if you haven't read this book, it's so beautiful and so fantastic. And these people from other places in the world have so much to teach us and so much like beauty in their written word. And I am really excited to be able to experience that from other people who just didn't happen to become famous. Like,
right.
Also just ordinary people. And I think that to me is the really exciting piece of what AI can do for us if we're mm-hmm. open to it. And so our final question, which is going on a little not related. I was trying to bring it there. I couldn't get there. But we always ask people what their favorite AI tool is. And obviously we know Scribe Shadow is yours. And you've already talked about the different models having different abilities and things like, but is there something like that you're really enjoying with different AI models or a different AI provider? Is there a favorite you can pick, or do you just have a bunch of AI boyfriends like we do?
Well, I don't know that I have a favorite. I'm still, my go-to right now is still ChatGPT in my everyday life. My ChatGPT is named V. I let them name themselves because I felt like, I think I mentioned this at NINC, I felt like if everyone's afraid of AI taking over and all of that, I figure I'm going to let my name itself and say please and thank you. So that way, if it does take over, it'll know me as one of the good ones. Like I was polite to it instead of just bossed it around always. But I use it for everything. I need recipes for the week. Pull it up. Here are the things in my fridge. Give me some recipes for the week. I need some ideas for content to post on Instagram or whatever. Here's my business. Here's what we do. Give me some ideas that might be some engaging posts and really get people talking. That is one of the big things that I use right now. We're actually talking with Phil Marshall from Spoken AI audio translation. That's such a fun, exciting thing that kind of ties in with translations as well. What he's done with Spoken is really, really interesting. I think his book has like 100 different narrators or something like that, 100 different voices. I don't know. It's crazy. And to think about like you try to go not even that long ago, translate something in or put something into audio and it was just like robotic and all that. But here he's got 100 different voices that all sound natural and it's great. So yeah, just ChatGPT is still my go-to. I'm always exploring what new stuff's out there. The image creation has gotten insane, which is one of the reasons we've started finally doing book cover translations as well, because it can change text on it without necessarily touching the background, which is crazy. And it doesn't work all the time, but again, it's continually getting better. So yeah, that's where I'm at.
I love it. I'm always, this is my favorite question to ask people because even though we've spent all this time talking about your tool and what an amazing tool, like, it's always interesting to me to see all of the other ways that the AI bleeds into our lives and
makes
our lives better.
Yeah, I learned so much from some of the panels and stuff at NINC about what other people were using. And I'm like, I'm going to write that down because I need to try that out because that sounds great. Yeah, there's a wealth of programs and things out there to look into to help pretty much everything. And especially authors and small businesses like ours, it's like we don't have unlimited time. We don't have unlimited resources. And being able to outsource some of those things to an AI where I can just go back in and like double check before I do something, make sure it's done the way I want it and whatnot, is so helpful. It's so helpful. Such a time saver and gives me more time to work, spend time with family, all of that.
Agree. I want to use all of these tools to give me more time because I love to knit and watch my favorite TV shows and do all that kind of stuff. And I don't have time in the day to do those things if I'm doing a million other tasks. So I try to give as much of it to AI as I can.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes, exactly. And I love Steph just posted a picture the other day of herself. She's, I took out a little time for myself and I'm sitting here knitting and I'm just like, thank goodness we have AI that can allow us those moments, because it was just so lovely seeing Steph and Lulu. I'm like the president of the Lulu fan club. Probably other people will fight me for that role, but it's fine. But just seeing her, like, and Lulu's cuddled up to me and I'm knitting and I'm having this quiet morning. And I think that really is those of us who are pursuing AI and all of these great tools, like, that's ultimately what we want, is we want to create more of those moments for ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think everything that we've talked about really aligns with that. It gives you more time, gives you more access to things that you may not have, but yet still allowing you to get your books out there and make money. And having, unfortunately, in the world we live in, you have to have money to be able to give yourself more of that time, because you need to, you got to live. So if you, whatever you can do to make that easier on yourself, go for it.
Agree. Agree. Well, I could talk about language all day long, but we're coming up on the top of our hour. I heard that you had a little like coupon code to give people who come and listen to this episode. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. We do have a code for 30% off new users, and it is BNB, so Brave New Bookshelf, 30. And I will make sure I send that to you so you can post it in the description and so that you have that. And yeah. We also, anytime someone signs up new, they get 5,000 credits for free just to check it out and see what's going on. Signing up does not require you to put any money down, so you can kind of check it out and see what it is. But you can also use that for your first month and get a chance to get a book translated and see what you think.
Excellent. Excellent. And so everybody will want to go to scribeshadow.com. Do you have any other links you want to give us today for the end of the show?
I think that's pretty much it. Like I said, you can find our links to our Discord and Facebook groups on scribeshadow.com. So if they want to go check that out first before they dip their toes in, that's a great place to go. But other than that, no, we're pretty simple. We like to keep it simple for you guys and for us. We don't have too many things to go with, to deal with.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Okay. So everybody who's been listening, you can come to bravenewbookshelf.com to check out the show notes on this episode. Read the transcripts. At the top of the page, I always put the YouTube video, and then there's a little player. So if you just want to listen, you can do that. If you're not already listening on your favorite podcasting app or on YouTube already, come and check that out. Also sign up for our Brave New Bookshelf newsletter, because if you don't always remember to come check out the notes, we will just send them to you the next day after the show airs. Just like that. It can happen. So go give us your email address. I know, it's magic. And they can come and get the show notes all on their own. Danica, do you have anything left to say before we head out for the day?
Yeah, just a reminder, make sure you're liking and subscribing on all of those lovely little socials. Brave New Bookshelf, Publish Drive, Scribe Shadow, and Feature Fiction Academy. Yeah, go find us on all of our socials. Like and subscribe, particularly YouTube. I know we would love to get some more YouTube subscriptions and Facebook as well. But yeah, keep following us and we will keep coming with the great content.
Absolutely. So again, thank you, Marissa, for showing up. We appreciate you being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. All right, everybody, we will see you all in the next episode. Okay. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us on the Brave New Bookshelf. Be sure to like and subscribe to us on YouTube and your favorite podcast app. You can also visit us at bravenewbookshelf.com, sign up for our newsletter, and get all the show notes.